Welcome, everybody. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, trying to sift through all of the propaganda. And there is a lot of mainstream media propaganda right now, but they're missing the big story. The United States and Israel are actively prepping for war. Washington insiders telling Redacted that this is going to be a much larger war than the last time around. U.S. tankers have arrived in Qatar, and all the preparations you might notice in your social media feeds. A change. We'll just talk about that. A change to your social media feeds and your mainstream media in the coming days.
We're also going to talk about how the UK is requiring digital ID. All of Europe now is trying to track Americans as well as their own people. This is not new for Europeans. It will be new for Americans. And we're going to talk about that with Jim Ferguson, who's going to join us on the show.
Right. We're also going to talk about the latest in the Charlie Kirk investigation. I don't know if you guys got to see Rob O'Neill, the man who shot Osama bin Laden right in the face. He said right from the beginning, this entire thing smelled like a rat. So the official narrative is collapsing, but the intelligence and deep state connections are bubbling to the surface. Why do they want us all ripping each other apart, focusing on weapons casings, focusing on the trans narrative? Because of the much bigger chess pieces that are at play right now. We're going to look at all of that today.
So we got a busy show. I hope you subscribe to the newsletter. You would have got a lot of this information in your inbox. And again, it's a compendium to this show, so you can have links to original source material. So you will be you don't have to study before Redacted. We're just giving you that option. This is not a pop quiz. Before we get to all that, we want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because the Fed has finally dropped interest rates, and that's great news for American homeowners. Expenses have been a major burden for American families. I think most of us feel like working class people who will not get a paycheck during this government shutdown, what are they going to do? Put their expenses on credit cards, try to make ends meet with gas prices up? I mean, I don't know, right? But if you're a homeowner, you do have options. You can call our friends at American Financing. Since interest rates have dropped, then homeowners are seeing options in the low fives that they can take equity out of their home instead of borrowing to pay their bills and use that to get themselves out of debt. Now, compare that to credit cards charging you interest rates in the 20s. It's an easy way to see what your better option is, and American Financing can teach you this. Head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted or call 866-890-8434, and they can teach you how to leverage your main asset, which is probably your home. This tactic that most wealthy people do all the time is leverage, leverage, leverage. So don't continue to dig yourself into debt without knowing all your options. AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. On that topic, I was just telling my son what it means. He's 15 for a government shutdown to happen. And I am utterly disgusted at the idea that we now have to talk about financing a war, and we cannot finance working class people who are now running the TSA, who are now air traffic controllers, national weather, law enforcement. How can we live in a society like this? How can we pay our taxes to this government that won't take care of its own working class people, but Ukraine continues to collect? Israel continues to collect. I cannot explain that to my son. Somebody please explain it to me. And I think we all should feel, no matter whether our paycheck is dependent on the federal government or not, we should feel disgust and sympathy for people who don't know what they're going to do now. And I'm horrified. So
yeah, and you might be like us. I mean, the size of the federal government is massive. And, that's not part of this discussion at the moment. But the fact that we are funding all of these foreign wars and will continue to funnel billions of dollars in weapons and whatever else to Ukraine and so forth, while people, law enforcement, members of the federal government, U.S. military will not be receiving paychecks for now.
Right. I mean, if you do read the newsletter, I had a chart this morning about the various ways that the American government spends money. What we're arguing about right now, and I do think that it's Democrats holding the federal government hostage, but it's a bipartisan effort to continue to fund foreign wars. No one's saying, hey, let's not pay NATO. Let's not pay, Mark Rutte this month. Instead, we'll pay our own federal workers. That I would support. It's such a small percentage of what they're fighting over. And yet it's the biblical example of strain out the gnat and swallow down the camel. And I am disgusted by it. So I think that this should be an absolute bipartisan disgust. Join me. Join me in that.
There's only like two people that are, you know, on the government side that actually, Thomas Massey and so forth, that want this to stop. Okay. And thank you to all of you guys for subscribing and being a part of our show. Yes, we usually have like 3 to 4 ads or sponsors during our show in our more than hour long show. Today we might go a little bit longer than normal, but I just want to point that out. You know, if you watch like an hour of like Fox News, there'll be like 30 different ads. We have 4 that support independent media and our show here. So thank you guys for supporting the people that support us. We don't have investors. We are not supported by any government. We are not supported by big tech, big pharma, any of it. We're supported by you and the few sponsors that we have here on the show. So thank you. Well, the United States and Israel are once again preparing for war against Iran. It's clear as day to anyone watching. This morning, reporting from military insiders shows American refueling craft, which previously flew to Europe, as we covered here the other day, have now been redirected to the Middle East. Many of these planes have already arrived at the base in Qatar. Others awaiting departure from British bases on their way to the Middle East at this hour. This is the very same Qatar, of course, that Donald Trump made Netanyahu call and apologize for bombing them. This was clearly a condition of any new attack that he has to call and apologize. So they did that right in front of the cameras the other day, by the way. Here, I'll hold the phone for you while Bibi, you go ahead and read an apology letter to the Qataris. I just like, you know, caption this photo, you know, like, hey, go ahead.
Oh, is that the same Qatar that sent Trump a plane, like like multi-million
dollars? Yeah, that's the very same one.
Yeah,
the very same Qatar where we have like strategic military bases. Yeah, that Qatar, the very same one. So, like, caption this photo. You know, like, can you put that back up? Like, what exactly, you know, should we be doing here? Like, hey, you know, we're sorry we bombed you, but we really need your military bases in the next few days to carry out this large scale attack against Iran. So, you know,
this is kind of
bygones be bygones.
Make our children apologize to each other. Like, you need to go say you're sorry for that. If you need to write it out,
yeah,
go ahead, because you did them wrong.
So the last time there was such a concentration of forces, it happened right before the previous attack on Iran. Redacted has also learned this morning from sources close to the White House that this attack is going to happen sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than later. And of course, the last time that Netanyahu met with Trump, it only took days for the attacks to begin. Bibi was just in Washington this week once again. So, hey.
This comment, Sirius says, so are you saying he shouldn't apologize? What we're saying is he shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Right.
Let's be clear.
Yes, he should apologize, but it's all theater. I mean, give me a break. It's all theater in front of the cameras. I'll hold the phone for you. You call Qatar and you read this apology letter, because we need to put refueling planes right in your Air Force bases there, your strategic bases in Qatar. Like, come on, people. This is theater.
They didn't accidentally bomb Qatar. It wasn't an accident. So there's no real, like, he's not really sorry. It is theater.
No.
It wasn't an accident.
It's all theater. And we also gave them a heads up that it was happening.
I bet
they knew it was happening. It's a fake phone.
Like one of those memes where you hold the cord.
It's a kid's phone. It's not even a real phone. So, of course, again, last time Netanyahu was here, just days, and then the bombing happened. Part of this effort, of course, is the mainstream media and social media propaganda that you're already witnessing right now. You might notice, like, when you're on, like, X or other areas, like, suddenly, like, there's people you've never heard of before are suddenly, like, all in on, like, all, you know, going after Iran, or they're all, like, pro-Israel, like, pro-Zionist. Like, you've never even heard of these people. Like, where are these people coming in your algorithm all of a sudden? Oh, I'm sure it has nothing to do with what's unfolding right now.
People I've never followed and interacted with and have no idea who they are in my For You feed on X telling me that Candace Owens is crazy.
Right.
What does that tell you? Who the hell are you?
Well,
Why do I care what you think about Candace Owens?
We'll get to all of that part of it in the paid posting in a second. But part of this effort, of course, is the mainstream media, and of course, the large scale social media propaganda. You need the media. You need to silence dissenting voices right now. That's why, you know, get rid of TikTok, have that bought up, blame it on China. It had nothing to do with China. Of course, you'd be a retard to believe that. Nick Fuentes says, get ready because here it comes.
Well, folks, we had a good run, didn't we? We had a good run. We had a good run. We had a good generational run. We were criticizing Israel. We were red-pilling people on 9/11 and JFK. We were making 6 million jokes, throwing up Romans, making Hitler edits. We had, you know, for a couple of goofy goobers, not bad, huh? But yeah, now that Larry Ellison owns all the media, I don't know how much longer that's going to last. Now that Israel is in their endgame, in their eight-front war against the world to, like, kill whoever they want for the right to genocide defenseless people, I don't know how much more we're going to get. So it's been real. It's been fun. But yeah, I think you can start to expect some changes happening on all of the American media landscape because under new management, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it's already happening.
Well, YouTube has promised us they won't do this again as recently as last week. So let's see how that goes. We have some insight now to how this new influencer campaign is going to go for Israel. And they have dialed it up to 11. Now they are trying to create plans to reach Gen Z audiences on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and ChatGPT. The company hired a conservative media firm called Clock Tower for $6 million to help win back mostly young conservatives that either once supported Israel or their family values are to support Israel and young people are not. Clock Tower is owned by this man. He's a former aide to President Trump, a top campaign advisor to President Trump. His name is Brad Parscale. He registered as a foreign agent to take this job on behalf of Israel, which was the right thing for him to do. The law requires him to do that. Now, recently it came out that Israel is also paying influencers up to $7,000 per post, plus these all expenses trips to Israel. And Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene posted on X today reminding these people, take this money if you want, but you better register under FARA because now you are a foreign agent. She posted this graphic to the law. So if you are concerned that you've taken some money from Israel and not disclosed it, you better do that. Now, you might wonder, this was one of my main questions. Okay, I get how they can reach you on TikTok, on X. They're pushing towards me every dang day. YouTube, I get that. How are they going to get to you on ChatGPT? It's not even a social platform. Well, the Responsible Statecraft reports that they will deploy websites and content to deliver ChatGPT framing results on ChatGPT conversations. So in other words, they'll create new websites to influence how AI models, such as ChatGPT, which is trained on vast amounts of research, get data from every corner of the web and then frame their responses on behalf of Israel. Now, AI is trained to notice when something is a state-run source, but there are creative ways to get around that. If Israel presents themselves as like an encyclopedia or some kind of academic or something, given, you know, their capture of all of these institutions, ChatGPT might not know that. So, I mean, to me, the only option is to read ahead. You cannot depend on your AI. You've got to be reading ahead all the time. You got to do it yourself. Depend on nobody. Go ahead.
Sorry, but maybe I don't understand how ChatGPT works, but if they bought it, do they need to like trick the algorithm? Can't they just literally just program it in?
They have not bought it. I mean, Sam Altman, you know, is not a perfect character who owns it, but this is not part of this campaign. You know, I would say it's captured, but it's not owned, as far as I know, by any is. Right. I mean, I believe, isn't Sam Altman a sympathetic character to Israel?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't
let's put it that aside.
I don't know his deeper politics.
But we know that them purchasing, you know, the U.S. government purchasing TikTok and putting it in the hands of Larry Ellison, who is very aligned with Israel. Basically, that's them having it. ChatGPT, they need to influence from the back end. As my grandma says, go around your elbow to get to your ass. Now, still, this is a tall order. Gen Z support for Israel is tanking fast. I don't see how an influencer campaign can turn this around. This I brought, and it's really hard to see, but I want us to look anyway. This is a New York Times Siena poll that came out just this week showing really high numbers of disapproval for Israel. Now, across the board in the U.S., 56% of voters disapprove. But then look at it by gender and age. So can you see that 73%? That means people under 30, almost three quarters of them disapprove of Israel. If you take a look at race and ethnicity, it's mostly white people who have the lowest, the highest approval rating. You know, because the evangelicals are the ones still kind of holding strong on approval for Israel. If you take a look at education, people with a college degree highly disapprove of Israel. Take a look at race, education, region, across the board, every region, Midwest, doesn't matter. Their highest approval rating is in the Deep South, where, again, the evangelicals might be concentrated, and that probably is the explanation for that. If you look at party ID, obviously Democrats, high disapproval rating for Israel. Republicans who voted for Trump have a high approval rating still, which tells us that the people who voted for Trump still kind of are following along with Trump, saying, well, I guess if Trump approves of Israel, they should too. Now, on Monday, you may recall this conversation. We talked about how can Israel possibly win this public relations failure? What are they going to do, even if they capture the whole internet? Most of us can continue to think for ourselves. How do they keep us from thinking from themselves? How are they going to win this? And then I came across this clip from Nick Fuentes on Glenn Greenwald's show on System Update. He presented, and I think it's the perfect way that I think that they're going to pivot this. And if we see it, it won't work. Let's call it the who cares tactic. Watch.
So I think their strategy is something like complacency and indifference. And I've noticed that on the right wing, which you see, for example, with somebody like Matt Walsh. In his interview with Tucker Carlson, he says, well, listen, I'm an American, so I don't really care that much about Palestine and Israel. Don't talk to me about that. I don't know anything about that. I only care about America. And to me, that is such like a deliberate, they're trying to come across as indifferent to Israel. They're trying to come across, people say this line on Twitter, they say, just let them kill each other. Who cares? Just let Israel and Palestine kill each other. And by all appearances, that looks like sort of a happy medium where you're not super pro-Israel, you're not a psycho anti-Israel, you're just really focused on America. But that belies the truth that, of course, the institutions, there's a major war being waged.
Okay, so how could you possibly buy that from a smart person? Someone you think is intelligent says, I don't really care about Israel. And you're like, I thought you were intelligent.
No, this will be the line. This will be the line that you'll hear from like these MAGA influencers. I'm going to call them the binder influencers, like the people that get invited to the White House and hold up the binders of Pam Bondi. Like these people, you're going to notice like they're going to be silent about it, or they're going to be like, I don't care about it. Like, I'm just not going to even talk about it, or I'm not going to care about it.
If you are an intelligent person, you know that Israel owns our politicians, influences our civil rights, wants to take away the First Amendment. Bibi has said that out loud. And so you don't have the luxury of not caring about Israel. So someone saying that to you, that's a psyop, because they've decided they don't want to talk about it, or they don't want you to care. They want you to say, well, then I'm not going to care. And then you'll stop being against Israel. That Matt Walsh interview that Nick Fuentes just alluded to, here is that bit.
I'm constantly hearing from the peanut gallery demanding that I kind of give my verdict or my take on Israel and Israel versus Palestine and all this kind of stuff. And I have given my take, and my take is I don't care that much. I just don't care that much. I'm not just America first. I'm an American chauvinist in that I only care about my own country. I honestly don't care about other countries. I wish them well. I don't wish them ill. I wish the people of other countries well. I think they all have a right to defend themselves, and they should.
I cannot abide that. And I don't think you should allow anyone to say that to your face. Then you need to stop paying taxes, I guess, altogether, and stop voting altogether, because Israel is the number one influence in American politics. You don't have the luxury to not care. What they're saying, what this psyop is when they say, I don't care, is I want you not to care. so that Israel can carry on. If we see this game, it will not work. Not while American workers are being stiffed of their paychecks, when Israel still collects weapons. On the same night, now just last night, in fact, the American government announced that it would pay Boeing, I think it's $123 million or billion, I get lost in the numbers, to replace the bombs that we dropped on Iran. So Boeing will get paid this week for a new contract, a new bomb contract, but American workers will not. Think about that for a second. Now, here was Netanyahu over the weekend saying that people who are anti-Israel are funded by NGOs because otherwise it's not organic to be. I mean, otherwise we would all just be loving them if there weren't these funded campaigns against Israel. It's a typical case of when you point the finger, you have four pointing back at you. He's hiring influencers, but he's saying anyone who is against his cause is a paid shill. Watch.
Christian influencers? Okay. You said, we talked about the woke right. And you said, I call it the woke Reich. That's a brilliant observation. The woke Reich, because these people, you know, they're not any different from the woke left. I mean, they're insane. They're loonies. But they're actually meeting on some of the things. And what we have to do is we have to secure that part of our the base of our support in the United States. That is being challenged systematically. A lot of this is done with money. Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster. Okay? We have to fight back. How do we fight back? Our influencers. I think you should also talk to them if you have a chance, to that that community. They're very important. Mm. And secondly, we're going to have to use the tools of battle. You know, the weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well, okay? And you can't fight with cavalry. That doesn't work very well. And you have these new things, you know, like drones, things like that. I won't get into that. But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are the social media.
Social
the most
media.
Important purchase that is going on right now is class.
Followers.
TikTok. TikTok. Number one. And I hope it goes through because it's it can be consequential. And the other one, what's the other one that's most important?
X.
Exactly. Successful. Very good. And, you know,
okay.
So
clearly,
we got TikTok.
Yeah.
And now we need X.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they have it, like I said, because my For You feed is chock full of pro-Zionists that I've never seen before, that I've never interacted with, that I don't know. X is just telling me what these people think about Israel. It's clear. And he's saying, we have TikTok. Well, who is we? We were told when the United States took it down that we were trying to evade control of a foreign nation. Now Israel has it. So a foreign nation, okay. Let me know if you, but again, just let me know if you see this working on a single person who is at this disapprove of Israel, but it's going to be turned around because of their algorithm. Who will be manipulated like that? If you see even one person, let me know. But let me know what you think about this. It's a terrifying time to be online because if they can't control your algorithm, if they can't control you through your algorithm, how will they control what we think? That's next.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got more news to get to. We're going to speak with Jim Ferguson in the UK. The digital ID is rolling out. It will now be mandatory for all adults in the United Kingdom. This is unbelievable. Protests, people across England saying absolutely not. But of course, Bill Gates loves it because this is the precursor, of course, to digital currency. You first got to get them on the digital ID. That is basically the prison cell that you put people in, and then you control all of their spending. Oh, you traveled too much last month. You bought too much meat last month. We know every transaction, everything that you're doing. We will watch you. So the digital IDs, by the way, while they're sowing distress around the world right now, they're moving to do this. And they're doing it in the United States while everyone's focused on the shell casings at Charlie Kirk's murder. They're actively moving for a mass surveillance state. So we're going to talk about that next. But first, you know, the hardest part of staying healthy is just staying consistent. That's why I love our friends over at Balance of Nature and their preferred customer care program. It takes care of all of the guesswork for you. Your supplements just show up automatically every 28 days. No reordering, no running out, no hassle. It's one less thing to think about. And the more that you can count on, they actually take care of all of it. They've got their fruit and veggie supplements, whole health systems. All of it is right there available for you to pick from. You know, as Natalie said the other day, you know, you're always told, like, eat the rainbow, eat the colors of the rainbow. Well, not all of us want to eat all of these colors of the rainbow on a regular basis. So that's where the supplements come in, and that's where Balance of Nature comes in. They're able to provide all of those supplements inside of one simple package that you can go through and pick the ones you want, the veggies, the fruits, the 16 whole fruits, 15 whole vegetables, all of it, and make a decision about it. Check out their preferred customer program. They always get the lowest price all of the time. Just go to balanceofnature.com, become a preferred customer, get the lowest price today with free shipping. Again, balanceofnature.com, sign up as a preferred customer and use the code redacted. You have to use that code redacted to save that money. So check them out. Our thanks to Balance of Nature for supporting our show. What's the temperature of the folks in our chat room today?
Well, they went crazy when they saw Netanyahu with utter disdain.
People do not like Netanyahu.
Somebody said that me talking is why we need censorship. You have it. You can turn the show off. Go ahead and do that. You can censor me.
If you don't like when I talk, you can just like go to the bathroom and come back and then maybe she'll be talking or, you know, just, you know.
Right. And then I see a lot of you saying, well, you know, these federal employees, the government's too big. They can collect unemployment. And I feel like that's the wrong attitude to have. Someone who's a TSA worker, an air traffic controller, National Weather Service, they trained for a job that they thought would support their families. These people are called essential employees, so they have to work without pay. They cannot collect unemployment. And I don't think we should blame them for what our incompetent leaders are doing. I think that we need to continue our focus on, yes, government employment is too big. The government itself is too big. But it's predicated on forever wars. That's why we have these NGOs. That's why we have expanding State Department. That's why we've done this, right? Yeah. This is the only way to shrink the government is to shrink the military industrial complex, and no one's even trying.
All right, let's talk about the UK now. United Kingdom arresting more people for social media posts overnight. A woman awakened at 2 a.m. to find police at her door once again. She's not the only one over social media posts that she's made. Fortunately, I don't think she was arrested this time, but watch out.
Please stay there. The reason I'm filming you is because I'm sick of the harassment. Every time I open the door to one of your offices, they are filming me. So now you know how it feels. Now it is 2:30 a.m. Can I ask why for a second time tonight you are disturbing me and my son in my home?
Because I've been made aware there's videos that have been posted onto social media, including those.
Oh, social media posts. 2 a.m. Police are coming to your house. This is the UK. And now the move towards a total 1984 style surveillance state is moving at lightning speed. I don't know how quickly this happened. We've been warning about it for years on this show. The rollout of the digital ID for everyone in England, making it mandatory.
Breaking news now, digital ID will be made law for all adults in an effort to tackle small boats. Downing Street believes that a mandatory ID card system will help stop illegal immigrants working.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand that.
That's a mandatory ID card is what it'll help stop
migrant boats,
illegal immigrants from working. That's the line there. That's the crock of shit that they're all telling us right now.
Did he literally say small boats? If I have a digital ID, that will stop the boats.
That's it. It'll stop the boats from coming. Digital ID is the prison cell that they want you inside of. You need the digital ID first, of course. Once they have that, then they move you into a digital currency, which is coming. Friend of the show, the great Neil Oliver from Scotland, one of the only truth tellers in that entire country, explains how the nicely named Brit card would control your entire life. Watch.
Brit card would link banking information, benefits, driving license, education, health records, housing, voting rights, you name it. If it's about you, it'll be accessed via your Brit card.
Yeah, he's right. And a new meme is going around today showing exactly how this would work. Watch.
Can I see your Brit card, please?
I don't have one. I don't have a smartphone.
Can I get another pint, please? Sorry, sir. Your Brit card says you've exceeded your alcohol quota for this week.
Sorry, sir. Your Brit card says you've already flown twice this year. We're having to restrict passengers with higher than average emissions profiles.
Sorry, I'm afraid your funds have been temporarily frozen. Your recent social media post did not align with the government's narrative.
Sorry, I'm afraid your Brit card says you cannot purchase any more meat this week as part of our commitment to achieving net zero.
Yeah. Jim Ferguson is a former parliamentary candidate journalist. He's also the founder of Freedom Train International. He's been all over this story. Jim, welcome back to the show from the UK. Great to see you, my friend.
Well, thank you, Clayton. Lovely to be on with you and Natalie again. Yeah, it's gone crazy in the UK. It just goes from one bad policy to another.
So walk me through like the rollout of this digital ID. We've seen protests over the past few days, people taking to the streets saying no for the digital ID. They'll probably be arrested, of course, because you're not allowed to speak out like this. But what will explain, walk us through exactly how this will work and affect you in the UK.
Well, this is the first opening salvo in the whole dystopian nightmare that is the surveillance state. The globalists are absolutely adamant that they're going to push out this digital ID. And they're using the excuse of mass illegal immigration, but nobody's believing that for one second because there's no truth to it. What they're looking to do, Clayton, is to make sure that everybody is put under this system. And of course, this is just the very first start in it because central bank digital currencies, as you quite correctly said before I came on, is their secondary position. And that will link all of our bank accounts, everything that we do, to a central system. And if they don't like what we're spending our money on, if we speak out against the state, they can effectively unplug us from society. I honestly can't emphasize this enough. It is absolutely a nightmare, and it won't stop at the UK. This is what the globalists want for every country, especially across the EU.
Now, what is the rationale that they're using about it will stop migrant boats? I can't follow that even if I want to. Can you?
Absolutely not. It's just a complete lie. It is nothing to do with stopping illegal immigration. What it is to do is giving them complete control over all aspects of our lives. And this is the first stage for that, in before the secondary stage comes in, which is central bank digital currencies. That's going to control everything. And it means that we have no privacy. It means that we have no any way to combat that unless you are in a position where you can unplug from it. And that's why we're continually pushing people to get ready to live outside that system. I mean, that little meme that you showed is quite true. People won't be able to use public transport. Those on welfare might be intimidated and bullied into getting this, or they don't get their welfare. Going to the doctors, going to the dentist, it all is a nightmare that is unfolding before our very eyes. This is something that's real.
And it's coming to the United States, as people in our chat room are pointing out. It's coming to the United States. And the surveillance...
the United States has decided, in fact, the Trump administration passed a law this year saying you can no longer pay your taxes by check. We must have a link to your bank account from now on. That means you have to give the IRS your banking account. They're saying it's to give you your refund or to take direct. But I mean, it has been done before where they just decide what your taxes are and they take it. So, I mean, we're here too. Is that something in the UK?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's leading to that. I mean, we saw what happened over the course of the last 4 years with mandates. They're saying this is going to be mandatory. In other words, you have no choice. There is no opt-out of it. You either do it or you don't. And they will get heavy with anybody that decides that they're not going to go along with it. But I can tell you, there is massive resistance here in the United Kingdom to it. As you guys know, I've been involved with Advance UK since its launch, now as international ambassador. And at the launch in Newcastle, just on Saturday, the party leader said, if we get elected, when we get elected, they will not accept it. They will undo anything that Keir Starmer's government has done that's detrimental to the British people.
Keir Starmer the other day in an interview was asked about this illegal immigrants not working part of it. Like that's the whole reason you want digital ID is to stop illegal immigrants from working. And he couldn't answer, well, wouldn't employers, what if they just don't check the ID? And he had no answer for that. And how is that any different than a physical ID? Who cares if it's digital? It has nothing to do with illegal immigrants at all. It's ridiculous. And he was stumbling and stumbling and stumbling. I mean, he sounded like Kamala Harris trying to answer a question.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he's just as bad as Kamala Harris. Maybe some would argue even worse if that was possible. But here's the thing. We have driving licenses. We have passports. We have national insurance numbers that everybody has to have. So we do not need a digital ID. But of course, the third stage to this is 15-minute smart cities. If they can control our finances or digitize them, then you're talking about geofencing. If you go out of your district, and yes, that's what they're actually calling them, districts, almost like Hunger Games style. And I kid you not, that means that you might go unauthorized to another city or another part of the country. Well, they can actually stop your cards or your payments from actually working if you break the rules. They're trying to lock the country down, and they're going to do it across Europe as well, Australia, New Zealand. It's all unfolding right before our very eyes. And these globalists who are infiltrating and infesting our respective parliaments and governments are absolutely adamant they're going to do it. But the pushback is coming.
Jim, before we get you out of here, another piece of this is Americans traveling to the UK. I know you've been covering this story. Now, this is about to roll out, I think, what, on October 12th? So that if Americans or I don't know what other countries fly into the UK and I guess parts of Europe as well, we're going to be fully in your databases, right? I mean, you're scanning like everything. You're probably going to have us stripped down naked before we get into your country.
Well, I can tell you they're absolutely doing this in the EU. And those of us who, even from the UK, who are going into any of the EU countries are going to have to give biometric data. We're going to have to agree to fingerprints. I'm due to be in Europe in a number of different countries over the next few weeks. I will have no choice but to give my biometric data and fingerprints to them as well, or they won't let you in. It really is that bad. And they're going to do the same to Americans that visit Europe as well.
Well, so, okay, already so it's Europe. They are. So it's, and just in fact,
be clear, it's not the UK yet. Right. Yeah.
And in fact, when we were in Scotland this summer, we had to apply for these and we had to answer questions, one of which was, have you ever supported terrorism or supported extremist views, which tells you the basis on which they will decide that you can no longer have this access.
Yeah. What's an extremist view? Well, who gets to decide?
Right. I mean, because I think a lot of the UK government's positions are extremist. So, you know, we have to have a discussion. But on this form, you don't know how they define that.
Well, that's the whole problem. Their views are not the views of 80% of the people in this country. 80% of the Brits do not want this. And I believe there is going to be a massive pushback coming. There are already many organizations and protests that are gearing up for this. They're not going to get this fight. It's not going to be an easy fight for them, I can assure you. And in fact, it could actually cause Starmer's resignation. I think his own people, his own party members, are so fed up with this that they're actually going to turn against him. But the problem is, there will be somebody else that's got Klaus Schwab's ear waiting in the wings to come in and to usher in their dystopian nightmare. But we are going to fight back. We're not going to accept it without a fight. And I keep on encouraging people, get ready and prepared. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, Jim, right. Ferguson, I will point out that I hear that you have a Scottish accent too. Clayton Signal was the only brilliant person in Scotland. I know you're not in Scotland right now.
Yeah, you're not in Scotland right now, to be fair.
Yeah, Neil's, so in Neil's case brilliant. That hurt your feelings.
Hey, listen, guys, you don't hurt my feelings. That's always great to be on with you. And I know that you guys in Clayton actually have Scottish ancestry as well, so I feel quite comfortable, quite at home.
I do. I very much do. You'll never take away my freedom, Jim. Thank you so much. Great to see you. Great to see you as always, my friend, the great Jim Ferguson. I appreciate it. Thanks for staying up late with us. Yeah. I know it's late.
Another one of the country's smartest truth tellers.
That's right. There's very few of them.
Oh, you guys. Yeah, thank you so much. Always an honor to be on with you both. It really is. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim. Great to see you. Thanks so much as always. All right. Coming up.
What? I'm just kidding.
What?
This is how we are in social situations. It's like, don't say that to that person.
Did you just talk about 9/11?
Why'd you say that to that person?
We're inviting Natalie,
we have no friends.
We're inviting Natalie and Clayton over for dinner. Just don't talk about Building 7, okay? Can you just we don't know these people. Could you just like, all right.
I bet all married couples are like that, though. It's like, let's not lose friends at this event tonight, honey.
Yeah.
Okay, which one of us did it?
9/11 was an inside job. What? All right. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the inside job of the Charlie Kirk assassination. The official story is crumbling. The CIA connections and the three-letter agency connections to this are overwhelming. We're going to talk to an investigative journalist who's been in Utah and has been connecting the dots on the three-letter agency connections to all of this. And by the way, go to the 30,000-foot level, as we pointed out earlier. There's a whole reason they want us to be talking about the shell casings and a trans roommate. They want us to be talking about Israel because it's all part of a bigger strategy right now to sow discontent in the United States and chaos. We're going to talk about that coming up. But first,
we want to tell you that we have a store, if you didn't already know. If you head on over to redactedstore.com, you can see all kinds of ways that you can signal to the world that you are a rabble-rouser and a truth-teller and a conspiracy knower. We have a redacted hat. We have mugs. This one, communism equals starvation. We have other things we're going to put. We have a break coming up here in October. We'll have new items as well. But make sure you get, go ahead.
Our new Don't Tread on Me.
Right. We have a new sweatshirt and t-shirt. Don't Tread on Me. It's aggressive.
I love it.
If you're the kind of person who likes to signal to the world your politics and you want to make sure that you're that kind of person. Well, yeah, that's how Clayton is.
I know. Well, by the way, when you order it, like they run a little small. So like I ordered a large, but I should have ordered an extra large. And so I gave it to my son and my son said, I want it. I want it. And he's like, Daddy, can you explain to me like the history of this? What is this flag? You know, and I took him back to the American Revolution and I explained to him the entomology of this, is that the correct word, of this flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, of course, and told them, you know, what it means for the American Revolution. So anyway, we have it on our store.
Yes. Check out the various things on the Redacted store. I think you might like it. And let us know if there's something that you'd like us to put up on the store. We will do it. I will not comply, that kind of stuff. So please head on over to redactedstore.com, support independent journalism, and let us know what you think of our offerings there. We'd really appreciate it.
Friend of the show, Ryan Mata, was out doing a report the other day. He was wearing our I Will Not Comply hat. He loves it. So thank you. Thanks, Ryan. All right. Well, the official story of Charlie Kirk's assassination has collapsed. It's not adding up at all. U.S. spy planes were present that day over the murder scene. Ballistics experts say the official kill shot story is not accurate at all. Intelligence insiders, whistleblowers who've worked in intelligence agencies say that every piece of this has the hallmarks of a three-letter agency job. All of it. The three-letter agencies are written all over it, as Colonel Towner Watkins, retired Air Force Colonel Towner Watkins, who exposed Operation Gladio and the terrorist stay-behind armies of NATO, explained yesterday on our show, it's all part of a strategy called strategy of tension. Watch.
Through the research that I've been doing, one of the fundamental principles is a thing called strategy of tension. And it is to keep populations divided, keep them in silos, and to keep them from talking to each other. Because what happens is when people talk to each other, they oftentimes find that they have a lot of commonalities and develop like an esprit de corps among them. And you cannot control people if they have commonality.
That's exactly right. So if Charlie Kirk is bringing people together and breaking through the narratives, you can't have that at all. Even U.S. Navy SEAL, former U.S. Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill, the man who shot bin Laden in the face as part of a CIA operation, by the way, says the story makes no sense. He knew right from the get-go it made no sense and that they were lying about it. And all of the eyewitnesses, he says, who saw the shot come from a different angle, they were immediately silenced. He knew that was a red flag. Here's the man who killed Osama bin Laden last night on Piers Morgan.
Me, I mean, it was off it right from the beginning for me. Do we not guard rooftops anymore? There's been assassination attempts all over the world. Right. Why aren't we looking at rooftops? When I was sent the video with this at the same message where they said Charlie Kirk was just shot. When I watched that horrific video, he was obviously dead before he hit the ground. But the questions immediately started to come to me. That was not an entry wound that we saw. We saw an exit wound. So where'd that bullet come from? You don't bleed like, and I've shot guys closer than the camera was. And an entry wound doesn't look like that. An exit wound does. Why did his shirt move the way it did? When I've shot people, their shirts didn't move like that. And then the initial reaction was, well, he was obviously wearing body armor and it was deflection. One, no. He wasn't wearing body armor. And two, it doesn't deflect like that off of body armor. Why was his shirt moving from right to left? Why were people being interviewed saying, yeah, they came from my left to right, from his right to left, immediately shut down? And then did they tear the crime scene down immediately? Just right off the bat, from seeing it, knowing he was dead, saying a lot of this is bad, not even getting into the soliloquy of text messages that 22-year-olds don't send their trans lover. So immediately the official story sounds like it needs to be investigated. But now, you know, the whole crime scene's gone. They paved over it. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, tore down the Dairy Queen, paved over all the slabs right where Charlie Kirk was speaking. Nothing to see here. Investigative journalist Elizabeth Lane is not giving up on this story. She's been on the ground in Utah connecting the CIA dots, the three-letter agency dots and connections, and she joins us now. Elizabeth, great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Clayton. Oh, yes. And it's funny you guys mentioned Gladio, because it's so important to know what happened during Operation Gladio. Because what we are seeing in the United States right now, it's very related to what the CIA Institute actually turned this world to be. So I'll get to Charlie in a second, because I was actually at the hospital where the whole thing happened. My producer called me that he got shot. So the first thing I did was get in a car and drive to the hospital. I knew exactly where they were taking him. Like, I've done my investigation. I did my investigation while I was on the road, and I was texting a person who was getting live updates from the hospital. So I showed up, and the whole scene was just really weird to me. First and foremost, there were very little amount of journalists that really shocked me. Like, I thought people would be there just trying to get some details and story, but that was not the case. There were just some people who followed Charlie's car, and they were just praying at the hospital, you know, for Charlie's survivor. But obviously he was already dead. Then another weird thing that happened was this whole story about him being on some kind of life support. They even told us that he, for a second, he had a pulse. All that obviously is not true. Charlie was dead from the very, like, as soon as he got shot, I would say. And another thing is, I had this strategy that I wanted to maybe try out. I have a private detective that I work with from New York. He's very experienced. He was there during mafia days in New York, so he knows what he's doing. And we got together as a team. I had this strategy. Now I can talk about this because it didn't work out quite how we wanted it to. I looked at Tyler Robinson's case and I thought, well, why don't I get this guy a lawyer? Because that at least puts me, you know, near him so I can understand and control the process. And this is times where they couldn't find the guy a lawyer, and they were kind of scrambling around to figure out who was going to be his lawyer. And I started approaching different firms in Utah, trying to get him a lawyer for pro bono. So I walked up to one, I'm not going to name the firm itself, but one of the most reputable firms in Utah, because I live here, and I asked them if they were willing to represent Tyler Robinson for pro bono, you know, case. And I was extremely surprised what I got from them. First and foremost, they were like, yes, we're absolutely on this, because we don't believe that what happened to Charlie Kirk was remotely a case of just a single, you know, crazy kid going up and shooting the guy in the neck. Like, we don't believe that. So we are more than willing to represent him pro bono. So I was like, great. So we started the process. And what happened is we realized that we needed lawyers who are actually certified with death penalty. So their certifications didn't live up to that. But there's another interesting thing. When I did find a lawyer that was certified to represent Tyler Robinson, obviously I needed a consent from Robinson's family and or Robinson himself, because he's actually not a minor. He can consent to himself. And ironically, we were unable to get in touch with the parents, and the only sources that got close to the parents, they kept telling us that they don't need a pro bono lawyer. In fact, they don't care if we have a better lawyer for Tyler Robinson. And that really shocked me, because I don't know if my son was, you know, on a trial and possibly charged with, you know, a murder that could get him executed in prison, I would probably want a really good lawyer for my son, you know, as a family member. Right. So that was a very big surprise.
Can you clarify yes. something? The family yes. was telling you this, his parents, or an intermediary?
We couldn't even get to the family, Clayton. That's another strange thing that we can discuss. Like, I couldn't even get to them. So then my best approach in this situation, as my detective told me, to reach out to local firm in Utah and get their help to somehow get the consent. Because as a lawyer, you can't solicit clients, right? So it's illegal. So you can't just, like, announce yourself that I'm going to represent Tyler Robinson. So I started doing that. So I got into this process and I asked my local lawyer firm, hey, what's the best way to go around here? Like, we need help to get the lawyer from New York who is certified to represent Tyler to get on the case. So he said, whatever you do, Elizabeth, do not get in touch with the firms in Utah that are the most powerful, because they are in on it with the state. No matter what happens, they will take the side of the state. I did not listen to him. And I ended up calling one of the biggest firms in Utah just for, you know, just to ask for an advice. Like, what is the situation here? What can we do? So what I got from there, Clayton and Natalie, like, will shock you. First and foremost, they started screaming on the phone. And I was like, why do you even care? Like, you don't have a dog in this fight. Why are you so rude on the phone? So then I said, listen, there is a lawyer who's qualified and he's actually very famous in New York, wants to represent this kid. All I need is a consent from Tyler Robinson to do so. And we think that you can help. To this, I got a very rude response that only Scordis is allowed to represent Tyler, sorry, is allowed to find a representation for Tyler Robinson. Well, let me tell you who Scordis is. So Scordis is a guy who's running as a state prosecutor. So here's the problem with that. State prosecutor cannot be responsible to find a lawyer for a defendant. That's illegal.
So, right, that they will be, they're choosing their own opponent.
Yeah, that's what it seems
like. And this
like,
is something that I've been wondering about, because it seems yes. like an open and shut case for any defense attorney yes. because the government has presented such a crap case, unless his attorney mm-hmm. is a shill.
Yes. So what I know is that Scordis is running as a state prosecutor. He's running. Everyone can look it up. It's on his website. So it's not quite illegal for him to find a lawyer for Tyler, but it would be illegal if he was a state prosecutor. But what it is, though, is highly unethical. So to have Scordis looking for, you know, a lawyer for a defendant who's running for a state prosecutor, this is like very unethical. So let's start from here. And of course, like, then I, you know, ran into multiple other different weird situations that will take us like far if I go into the details. But my conclusion about this case is that Tyler Robinson had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk's killing at all. And I can go into more details of how the whole thing went down and why is it that the security that's supposed to be trained so well, if something happens to your, you know, protectee like Charlie, like the first thing you're going to do with when you have a neck wound is cover the wound and put the pressure on the wound. Even like my young relatives who are like 15-year-old, they know it. So how is this that the security unit, a security detail of Charlie, didn't know that? And if they did know that, then you can play the whole clip. Why is that that none of them are doing this? Because when they carried Charlie to the car, none of them had any blood on their hands. So if they actually tried to cover the wound properly and tried to save Charlie in one way or another, it would be there, don't you think?
Yeah, well, they're too busy. Well, one of them was too busy with his meta glasses filming the situation.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, there are people who say, absolutely, this is the guy, Tyler Robinson, 100%, open and shut case, stop being conspiracy theorists. He's the guy that did it. The FBI, we believe the FBI, we believe everything they say. This is it, we're done, move along. Yeah. But you just heard from Rob O'Neill, the guy who shot Osama yeah. bin Laden in the face. Yeah. He said, it doesn't make sense at all. But why?
Before she answers this question, though. How did this? How did the defense attorney get chosen? Let's not. Do you know?
I don't know how they ended up with this Kathy woman, honestly. I know what she represents and what rank she has in Utah. I live here, so I know that she's, in my opinion, completely unfit to do this. So I don't know what was the criteria that they chose this woman over the person we offered. I really don't know. It's, you know, I don't know. But like I said, there's many things in this case that makes zero sense to me. Zero.
So, okay, maybe you can just go with a few minutes that we have here. Just why are you so, why are you 100% sure that he had nothing to do with this, Tyler?
Honestly, given the situation, like, first of all, Tyler Robinson, this was not a kid that was, you know, trained in a gun range or had somebody or was somehow obsessed with the guns. He was not a trained shot. Second, I mean, person who's in prison right now, sitting there waiting for his sentence, has never confirmed his guilt. He never said that I actually did this. All right. So that would be one. But next, let's talk about the whole situation. This whole scenario looks very similar to me, at least to me, to scenario of Crooks. Right? Like some scrawny kid decides that he's angry at the world, or, you know, in President Trump's case, he was angry at President Trump. Now he's angry at Charlie, the same thing. And it just looks to me like search and intelligence agencies are running the same exact playbook over and over again. And like you mentioned Gladio, and I wanted to actually talk about that a little bit and how important it is. Most people know that, you know, CIA was running such operations like MK Ultra, MK Naomi. That's another thing that people don't know. MK Ultra actually had brothers and sisters that most people don't know about that never stopped and continued as like brother-sister operations. They in 1951, they poisoned the French village. In 1950s, they poisoned San Francisco through Operation Sea Spray. And then, of course, we have Gladio when MI6 and the CIA very, I would say very cunningly made Europe believe that the Soviet Union was going to invade after World War II. And there was like high chances that Soviet Union would one day try and invade Europe, which is obviously nonsense because Soviet Union, everyone who knows history knows that they lost 27 million men in World War II, and it made no sense for them. Even if they wanted to invade Europe, they couldn't. But they used the fear element, like they always do, to make Europe believe that this was needed and they needed some kind of secret armies that NATO would solicit and provide for them to stay behind secretly in European countries. Now, just think about how dangerous that is. Like if you're Germany or if you're Italy and you all of a sudden have some kind of secret CIA army like in your country, it's just unbelievable that they got away with it, and it's unbelievable that they found people in those countries to agree to this. And I'll tell you even a very interesting incident about this. When Operation Gladio is just one operation, right? Operation Gladio had, again, like multiple different operations in different countries. It just Gladio was in Italy, and the first one that broke out as a news was Gladio. But there was an operation in Turkey, for example, exactly same operation. It just, in Turkey, it was under Grey Wolves. It was under a different name, right? So when Gladio came to light, defense minister of Belgium went to Italy and kind of gave hard time to Italian primary minister, saying that, like, are you on your mind? Like, what are you doing? This is extremely dangerous for Europe. You allowed a foreign country, not just one, it was not just the CIA, right? It was MI6 as well. So allowed foreign countries to meddle, you know, inside Italy, like in your domestic affairs, and you're allowing this army to stay there. And Italian Prime Minister, to his defense, he didn't do it. He just like, he was one of the victims to this whole thing. So in his defense, he was like, listen, I know this is bad and I'm not okay with this at all. But why are you preaching this to me when you have the same army in your country? And defense minister was shocked. He was like, no, we don't. Like, I'm the defense minister of the country. If we did have an army like that, I would know. So to that, Premier Minister told him that why don't you go and ask your military and intelligence people, ask your chief of staffs, like, if you do have this army, and then get back to me. So defense minister goes back, investigated the whole case, and discovered that he did have a secret army, and he didn't know about it at all. And this is a defense minister of the country. Like, it's unreal. And when he, you know, complained about it and said, why is it that I don't know about this thing? Military told him, why would we tell you anything? You're just a politician. You're here for only a certain period of time. Politicians come and go, and we stay here forever. Intelligence people stay here forever. Military stays here forever. You're a nobody. So that should tell you how much power does the CIA has, not only here in the US, but overseas as well. This is a true story.
Elizabeth Lane, thank you for that. It's, again, hearing from too many people on these, the three-letter agency connections to all of this, and they want us to be in chaos, and they want us to be sowing discontent and all of this. Elizabeth, thank you so much for this. We're out of time, but I appreciate your work on this in Utah there, and please keep us in the loop. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Whew. All right.
Well, we have more news to get to. Coming up, we're going to talk about this strange story about President Trump admitting, I don't even completely understand it. I don't know what
this is. President Trump posted on Truth Social this AI video about med beds. And med beds are basically like beds at a hospital that can completely heal you. I mean, literally regenerating limbs. So President Trump posted this and then shortly afterwards deleted it. But guess what? We've spoken to quite a few whistleblowers who've actually seen these things in action, and our next guest has too. We're going to talk about all of that, and it's just strange. President Trump posts it and then deletes it, and people are like, what the hell? Okay, but there's actually truth behind it. We're going to talk about that. But first, you know the saying, look good, feel good? Well, the problem is most dress clothes only check one of those boxes. They might look sharp, but they're stiff, they're hot, they're a total pain to maintain. That's where Mizzen and Maine comes into the story. I've been wearing their shirts on and off the air. I just got another one on. I'm wearing this one right now. This is a Mizzen and Maine shirt. And I love, first of all, they're so light. You don't like sweaty or anything like that. Our studio is so stinking hot. And Natalie can wear like a full, like, you know, winter sweater right now. And
it's a dress.
But anyway, this is stretchy. It's moisture wicking. It's light. And the best part, Mizzen and Maine's shirts and pants look refined, yet they're stretchy. They're lightweight. Moisture wicking, wrinkle resistant. In fact, I threw this one in the dryer and it had all sorts of wrinkles on it before I threw it in the dryer, pulled it right out of the dryer, not a wrinkle in sight because it was like shoved in the back of my closet. So anyway, they're ready to go. You can wear them and they're ready to go. It makes my wife very happy so she doesn't have to actually dry these things and iron them either, by the way. They're actually invented the performance fabric dress shirt over a decade ago. They've perfected it. You can feel the difference the second you put it on. It's professional style. It's actually comfortable. Whether I'm here in the studio or traveling or just out to lunch. Right now, Mizzen and Maine is offering our listeners 20% off your first purchase at mizzenandmaine.com. Promo code REDACTED20. You'll get 20% off. Use that code REDACTED20. You know, if you're looking for a dress shirt for your husband for Christmas or whatever coming up, just check them out and you get that 20% off right now. Do some, you know, holiday shopping early. That's Mizzen. That's spelled M-I-Z-Z-E-N and Maine. MAIN.com. Promo code REDACTED20 for 20% off. Again, that's MizzenandMaine.com. Promo code REDACTED for that 20% off. All right. Well, something very strange happened on Truth Social the other night when President Trump posted a full video about med beds, medical beds that can restore you back to health and even regrow missing limbs. Here's the AI video that Trump posted.
Breaking now, President Donald J. Trump has announced a historic new healthcare system, the launch of America's first MedBed hospitals, and a national MedBed card for every citizen.
Every American will soon receive their own MedBed card. With it, you'll have guaranteed access to our new hospitals, led by the top doctors in the nation, equipped with the most advanced technology in the world. These facilities are safe, modern, and designed to restore every citizen to full health and strength. This is the beginning of a new era in American healthcare.
In this first phase, only a limited number of MedBed cards will be released. Registration details will be announced very soon.
Okay. Shortly after that post went live, it was deleted. Oddly enough, though, we here at Redacted have spoken to whistleblowers who've actually seen this technology in action for themselves. And our next guest, Dr. Michael Sala, has a number of sources who've confirmed that there's truth in this technology. Yes, the regrowing of limbs. And Dr. Michael Sala joins us now. Doctor, great to have you back on the show. Great to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure to be back.
So when you saw this post from President Trump, did you about fall out of your chair, like things that you've been reporting for years? But then it was suddenly deleted. Like, what is going on here?
Well, that was very strange. I mean, the fact that it was posted at all, showing that President Trump was aware of this technology that whistleblowers and insiders have been talking about for well over a decade now. I mean, I came across my first insider telling me about these med beds that would actually regenerate limbs and organs and from space battles. This was all part of the secret space programs. And I've come across several who have actually been inside of these med beds and actually had limbs regrown because of battles that they had in space as part of these programs. So these technologies are very real. They do exist, but they are in very highly classified programs that have been kept away from the public sector for decades. I can trace the research behind this kind of medbed regeneration of limbs back to the early work of Dr. Robert Becker in the 1960s. So this technology has been around for over 60 years. Medical technology or medical know-how on how to regrow limbs, but it was all suppressed by the pharmaceutical industry.
All suppressed by the pharmaceutical industry, of course, because then how would they make money? How would they make money off of our terminal cancer and chemotherapy drugs and everything else? Again, as I mentioned off the top, I've personally spoken here on Redacted to multiple whistleblowers who've seen this technology in action. Some of the med beds, but also special wands that are used as part of the regrowth of limbs. One person I spoke to saw it with his own eyes. So again, take it with a grain of salt. I didn't see it, but this comports with what I'm hearing from sources. And it's just so strange to me that President Trump posts this video and then deletes it.
Well, I think what he was doing was really drawing attention to the fact that these technologies exist and that they have been covered up by the medical establishment, by the pharmaceutical industry in particular. I mean, I mentioned the work of Dr. Robert Becker, who wrote this book, this pioneering book in 1985, The Body Electric, where he talked about how electromagnetic currents that are very specific in terms of their frequency can regrow limbs and regenerate organs. And this is not just a pie in the sky research by some alternative researcher. Dr. Becker was a well-known medical doctor who specialized in bone healing. And also there was a Air Force document that came out in 1976 called Radio Frequency Radiation Dosimetry Handbook. And that actually pinpointed the specific frequencies needed for regrowing bones, regenerating limbs and so forth. But this was done not so much for healing, but for weaponization purposes. They were looking at ways to weaponize this. But another branch of the Air Force clearly was building healing chambers for people that would be involved in the secret space program side of the classified programs there.
This is unbelievable to me. I mean, I know some people watching our show who might be new to our show might not realize that, hey, we do cover these stories. And again, these are whistleblowers and insiders, but you literally, as you point out, this is literally in a handbook about how this all works. And can, maybe you can talk about how this technology is actually working. And do you, have you ever met anyone specifically that's had that they were inside of a med bed that had perhaps a cancer removed or something else?
Yes. Well, actually, there is one whistleblower I've been working with very closely. He still uses the acronym JP. And he was stationed at Eglin Air Force Base. And he was actually taken into one of these medbed facilities in 2024. And he was shown, well, he actually went into the medbed facility because he was suffering from a medical issue that he was later discharged for. But he said he described seeing approximately 6 to 10 of these medbeds, and that inside of these medbeds were these covert operatives that were being treated for various illnesses. He said in his case that the medbed was only used to kind of 1/3 of its power, and that really he was just being introduced to it rather than having rather than having a full treatment.
Where do you know where these med beds are located? Like, is it common knowledge within the Secret Space Program, people, Space Force, others, that they have access to these med beds?
Well, we know that there are some located at Eglin Air Force Base, which is a major facility, Air Force facility for launching Secret Space Programs. There are also medical laboratories, the Scripps Institute in San Diego, for example. They also have allegedly some of these medbed facilities there, according to another whistleblower that I worked with for a while, William Tompkins, that he said that he was going there and he knew about the medbeds that he was involved in helping build back in the 1970s with a aerospace company called TRW, and that the TRW, they were involved along with the Scripps Institute and other pioneering aerospace companies in developing the first medbeds.
It's remarkable. And of course, we don't have access to it. So I've had friends who've lost their mother recently with stage 4 terminal cancer, and these med beds can essentially cure that cancer, and we're not being allowed to have access to it. Same with etheric energy or all these other technologies that we're not allowed to have access to.
Well, that's right. Yes, and it's much more than just the med beds, because the med beds can replace limbs, but there's also technologies that you mentioned, actually, where they can actually, with something like a wand or a pencil, induce specific frequencies in organs that are diseased, or if you have cancer or any kind of problem in the body, that if you induce certain currents, frequencies there, that can stimulate the healing. So this is the work of Dr. Becker and others supporting him. But that has been ruthlessly suppressed, going all the way back to the 1960s. So, this is something that has incredible potential to heal people. But the pharmaceutical industry has a lot of power and has suppressed this. And I think Donald Trump's retweeting of that AI-generated post was really kind of like a shot across the bow, saying to the pharmaceutical industry, we're going to release this and it's coming soon and you can't stop it. And I think this is all part of Trump's war against the deep state. And the pharmaceutical industry is one of the major pillars behind the deep state and why it's been able to last for so long and has been able to kind of suppress so much.
He does that. He posts that, and then like 2 days later invites Albert Bourla, head of Pfizer, to come to the Oval Office, like the Death Eater demon himself, and then, hands him a huge bucket of money for additional mRNA rollout technology. So, like, I don't know. Like, he posts that saying, hey, we're coming for you. And then the next couple of days, he kind of flip-flops and brings Albert Bourla to the White House. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, that might be one of these cases of the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing. It does seem very, very strange. It may be that the FISA people, maybe they want to have a hand in the rollout of these kinds of technologies. I'm not sure of what kind of thinking is behind having the head of FISA come in and handing out money. It may have something to do with the rollout of these med beds. But what I've been told from different sources is that these med beds have been mass produced and they're ready for release. And so It may well be that FISA is one of the corporations that's kind of like jumping ship and saying, okay, we're going to go away, we're going to abandon the pharmaceutical model and let us be one of the companies rolling out these med beds and we'll support you.
Well, I hope it's true. I mean, but it is crazy. Again, this is not... Trump posted it on Truth Social and then deleted it. So, you can say what you want about it, but it's certainly eye-opening. And then to have confirmation from you and the sources that I've spoken to over the years, there's something going on here. Dr. Michael Sala, always appreciate you joining us and bringing us these stories. It's really fascinating. Thank you so much, Doc. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me on the show.
And you should read Dr. Sala's great books. Just go to Amazon, look up Dr. Sala. You can read his interviews and with sources specifically in the Secret Space Program. Your jaw will hit the floor for sure. All right. Well, what's the pulse of the newsroom? What's the pulse of the chat room today? M.O. Capri says a $2 donation says they are real and they've been kept from us, these med beds. Yeah. Oh.
My microphone.
Because you were over there cackling.
I wasn't. Don't
Natalie
say
and Clayton, please, please, please read the publishings of Henry Ford. The concerns in the early 1900s will absolutely horrify you. Colonel Mr. Wink says Colonel Towner Watkins is wide awake. She is all over it. Yes, she was.
Yeah. You guys love her. We found her through you. People on X were demanding that she come on the show and you didn't disappoint. So we love that.
I did a whole deep dive interview with her about Operation Gladio a few months ago over the summer. Go check that interview out. But she was on the show yesterday if you want to watch her full interview that we did yesterday about the deep state CIA connections and all of that with the Charlie Kirk murder. Donation RF says the shooter was in all black near the tent using a fake camera or that fake iPhone camera. Yeah. And anything else? Anything else we want to touch on here? The movie Elysium 100%, Unit 17.7. My mouse isn't working over here, so I can't scroll
down. I can see there's a charge your mouse notice.
I know. Right, I got the mouse being charged somewhere.
All right. But anyway. Well, then it's time to charge our batteries. We're going to go do that. We will see you here tomorrow. We have a lot to get to still. Don't we have guests tomorrow that we could tease?
Yes, Glenn Greenwald is going to be joining us.
That's right. Yeah,
one of the great journalists. Glenn Greenwald will be here.
Yeah.
We also have a daily newsletter. Please subscribe to it. Just go to redacted.inc. Put in your email address. You'll receive a welcome email from me, which is just clayton@redacted.inc. But you just got to, it might go to your spam folder, your junk folder. Just drag it over to your inbox. We publish it every day that this show is live, Monday through Thursday. We cover like four or five of the big stories of the day. We cover some of the markets, what's going on with gold, some things you might have missed while you're sleeping. You can read it over your cup of coffee. And, again, the stuff the mainstream media ignores. Redacted.inc is the place to go.
We'll see you here tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much.